Hi, I'm Mike Yam, and coming up on the next Pac-12 Network's basketball podcast, the one and only Kevin O'Neill will be in studio. We'll also have Matt Muehlbach with us. The two of those guys will recount some of the epic stories of his recruiting trip, not to mention Utah with a bad loss on the road against UCLA. Matt and Kaya will tell you what it means for the Utes moving forward. It's coming up next on the podcast.
It's the Pac-12 Network's basketball podcast with Mike Yam and Kevin O'Neill.
Yes, yes, it is another fresh episode of the Pac-12 Network's basketball podcast. You are used to hearing the storytelling ability of one Kevin O'Neill. Mike, I'm with you. There's a lot to get to, but we are, of course, you know, one of the best things about this podcast this season has been the segment that I say, in all sincerity, is now sweeping the podcast world, the recruit. You and Matt Muehlbach going back and forth about how you were able to convince him to head to Arizona and play his college career. Matt is in studio with us. It is great because we're going to be working, the three of us will be working together on Pac-12 Networks for some pre- and post-game coverage. We're going to get to the recruit stuff in just a second, but Matt, it is great to have you here in studio. Finally, we're off the phone.
Yeah, and I've got to be able to see Kevin when he's telling these stories or when he's coming back with stuff. I got to be able to see the intonation, and he's got to see mine too.
Yes,
we're both lying a little bit here.
The fibs. It's just small.
Recruiting is all about the lies on both sides.
Stretches of truth is how I might like to define that. But look, I initially thought when we knew that we were going to come here in studio and work with us, I figured, let's just do the whole podcast about the recruit. When we started with the campus visit, I want to get to all that stuff in just a second, but I. Last night, we watched Utah, and the only reason why I bring this up, KO, is because you and I were on set with Don McLean, and we previewed this matchup.
Right.
We didn't think, you didn't think, I won't, because I don't
I didn't think UCLA had a chance.
Had no chance. Don didn't even think it was going to happen. I mean, they got their doors blown off. Matt, you've had this Utah team at least, I think, three, four times already this season. How in the world, KO, can you explain Utah going on the road?
Just home court.
You always tell me that. I still can't.
College guys can't play on the road,
but
Jammer.
But they're so much better.
Huh?
Is that Utah team, aren't they so much better than UCLA?
Apparently not.
Yeah, at least the first
game
they were.
We're down to one good team in the league.
Yeah, what Utah beat UCLA at in Utah?
They had
39.
They scored 39 points in the entire game.
It happens. My second year at SC, we go to Arizona, we lose by 21. We come back, they're number 8-9 in the country. We beat them at home by 5. I mean, that's college basketball. That's league play. It's just what happens. You know, college players can't hold up on the road. They just can't.
And it's especially true of basketball. You take football and baseball, not even close.
Well, they stop between football. You got 30 seconds between every play.
Yeah.
There's no such baseball. Everybody's asleep halfway through the second inning. I mean, come on. Basketball's got a momentum to it, a game.
There is a flow, and UCLA, for the most part, just dominated. There was only a small stretch where even Larry Krzyzewski said it after the game where he felt his team had played hard. We were talking about this before we even got out here. What's happened to Jordan Loveridge? I mean, it seems like if you take DeLon Wright out offensively, Brandon Taylor has emerged sort of as their second option. I'm shocked that we're not talking more about Loveridge.
Well, he had the knee injury. I mean, so you could use that. But I think the problem he has, he doesn't have a position. You know, he played the 4 last year. He goes to the 3. If he's in the 4, he's too small. If he's in the 3, he gets beat up by athletic guys. Yep. Norman Powell, Rondae Hollis-Jefferson. He's a great kid. He's a good shooter when he's feeling it. But other than that, I mean, those really top-end, really elite 3s, that's where that Utah
team
struggles.
He's an okay player.
He's a good Pac-12 player.
He's 1 of 8 from the floor, and that's mind-boggling to me because even last year when he was healthy, and I know you bring up the knee injury, he looked like he was going to emerge as this team's go-to player despite what we saw offensively from DeLon Wright.
I think it takes into the second year for any college kid to come back off a knee injury. I really do. Because, like in the NBA, all you do is rehab around the clock all day.
It's your job.
College, you got to go to tutoring. You got to go here. You got to go there. If you want to get in two rehabs a day, you got to get in there at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. at night. It's a different world, so it takes college guys longer to come back from injury than it does pro guys.
You had said this before. We have one good team in the Pac-12 conference.
I mean,
I know.
Utah's a good team.
Yeah, they are a good team.
Stanford's
a good team. And those would probably be still the three squads. You'd say that'd be dancing in March.
They will
from the Pac-12. Here's the one thing that I want to throw out there. You brought this up to me. UCLA gets a win. Now, Colorado, on the flip side, earns their first road win of the season, which is still mind-boggling to me. Skia Booker goes off in that game. I'm still not exactly sure where Tad Boyle's team is, despite the fact that they get this win against
them. They're an average team.
So they're still average in your mind. Does it change your perception, though, as you look at these standings here, that maybe one of these two teams, a UCLA or a Colorado, can use these wins as something?
Well, UCLA's got a great win now on their resume.
They needed
it. They got a top 10 win. They got to beat Colorado. They got to win the rest of their team all season.
That was their first one.
But they got to win the rest of their home games and split on the road. And I think they only play Arizona once, right?
They only play them once.
Where?
I think it's in Tucson.
Over.
Yeah.
Lights out.
They're not going to win that game.
They're not going to win that game.
Now, one of those teams could if they ran off 6 or 7. But you said it, KO. Colorado so far. I mean, and by the way, Josh Scott still is not playing.
Yeah.
I don't see them. And the problem with Skia, I mean, he's a great athlete. He can score a million points.
He shoots every ball.
That's kind of a deal with the devil.
That's right.
You're not going to sustain 7 wins in a row with one guy scoring 30 or 40.
It's very seldom. My second year at USC, we were lucky to win 6 of our last 8, and 3 of them were road wins to be able to get in the NCAA tournament. And we had to win a game in the tournament to do that. It's hard in league play to win 6 of your last 8. And make a jump. It's really hard to do.
I don't want to look too far ahead. End of February, Arizona heads to Salt Lake City. And that's a marquee matchup. We saw what happened last time. You've talked to me. You know what it's like to play. You know what it's like to coach at McCal. How difficult that atmosphere is. Utah was handled in that game. I think they started the game, actually, if I'm not mistaken, on a 10-2 run. And then it was all Wildcats the rest of the way. TJ McConnell obviously had a great first half. I think he was at 12 points and sort of skewed what we saw the rest of the way. Does your perception of that game in Salt Lake City change based off of this loss against UCLA?
No. That's going to be a great game. Utah will probably win the game, to be honest with you.
Yeah. No, they got a great chance to win.
Yeah, they got a great chance to win the game. But it proves to me Utah's going to lose another road game along the way somewhere. That's not going to be for the championship, that game. That's going to be for them to try to get a decent seed in the NCAA tournament. Because if they lost to UCLA like they did last night, they're going to lose another road game somewhere in the next month and a half.
Still, it's perplexing when you have a team that, at least on paper.
It's happened in every league.
It
happens in every league.
Yeah, and that's what we've
seen.
You
look right now, it's just power of conference basketball.
All right.
Well, even the best team in this league, they go on the road and lose to Oregon
Corvallis,
State.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it happens to every team.
Did Oregon State fly home like I told them to?
Double bubble?
Yeah. They're double bubbling all right. They're going to get crushed.
I tell you this. We finished the shows. I tweeted out the other night. I was like, Kevin O'Neill's must-see television on Pac-12 networks. Do you realize that you're one-liners? You know how many people cover different teams in this conference that are watching the shows, take your one-liners, tweet them out, and then they just catch fire?
I wouldn't know because I don't do any of that social media stuff.
I told you on the first recruit, he should have a show here.
Yeah.
I mean, why does he not have – there's a reality show, a sitcom.
This is the close – it's baby steps. This is the closest thing to the reality show.
I wish I had a reality show.
I wish
people could follow my life around. I'm serious.
You get it done.
I'll take him to Coronado Island for a weekend.
Yeah, that sounds exciting.
It would be. Believe me.
I had said this on the second
you
episode.
Ready to be awake for 48 straight hours, I can tell you that right now.
Maybe it was the third episode that we did. I had just run into you down in San Diego.
Yeah.
And I'm happy that you couldn't hang out that night, that you were on your way to Tucson. I don't know if I could have kept
your liver's fortunate. I'll tell you that right now.
I'm feeling okay. The detox maybe not all that necessary. I want to get to the recruit here in just a second. I'm curious because now we have you in studio. Before we continue with the campus visit here, what's been the react? I mean, I know you're obviously listening. You're telling these stories. Does your wife listen? Your folks? I mean, I got to think in some respects they're probably reliving the experience that you had.
My wife has no idea this is going on. Okay. She has 2 little kids. She doesn't.
Why would she care? My wife doesn't know this is
going
on.
She hasn't listened to one word of this.
No.
And by the way, I may throw her in today just so she'll start listening. I got to get her in so she'll listen.
You absolutely do.
I will say my mom and dad are listening. There are 2 people for sure listening.
Well, 3 because I know my mom.
Your mom's listening.
Of course.
KO.
My mom's dead. She can't listen.
Subtle, KO. Subtle. What's your parents' take?
I love it, I mean, hey, it's scrapbook. Everybody's got a scrapbook, and we all want to go back to it. I don't know if anybody else wants to watch the scrapbook or listen to it, but we all love our own scrapbook.
I don't have a scrapbook.
Does your hold on, I'm now thinking about this, because your parents have actually gotten some run in these stories.
Yeah.
If I'm not mistaken, KO, you actually liked Matt's dad.
I liked all of them.
Okay. I don't want to put words in your mouth. You didn't say you disliked Matt's mom, but it seemed like she was...
No, I liked. She was too concerned for her baby. I mean, every mother is. I mean, I liked everybody. They're great people.
Hey, she was Irish Catholic yep. here. They were. Yep. They hit it off.
Yeah.
Okay. If you say so,
absolutely.
As long as everyone is on the up and up. All right, this is what we'll do. We will continue on with our recruitment story.
The segment you've been waiting for, the recruit.
Well, as I started the podcast saying, it is the segment that has been sweeping the podcast world. It is time for the recruit, Matt. We're fortunate to have you in studio to continue these stories. Over these last four episodes, KO and Matt have relived their experiences as obviously Coach O'Neill was with the Arizona Wildcats in charge of making sure that Matt Muehlbach would go to become an Arizona Wildcat, which is exactly what had happened. You guys have told this story almost serial. Podcast. Have you caught the Serial podcast?
Yes.
We're essentially telling this story over the course of a couple weeks. The campus visit is where we last left off, and if I'm not mistaken, it had to do with practice. You were at practice, and KO was telling you how you were going to be a starter that following season.
And by the way, I knew the entire time he was lying. I mean,
we both knew we were lying.
Yeah,
I was lying. That's what it's all about.
I mean, KO and I had an interesting relationship. I didn't mind that. I mean, I could call him out on stuff. And he called me out on stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, we challenged each other at times. I laughed at
him. Even when he was there as a player.
a lot when I was a player. It really got going. But so he's telling me those things. I'll tell you, and this is, to me, you know this, recruiting guys, after practice we go into the locker room. And that is like the one spot that everyone wants to see. And they want to see the locker room. And every time, like Mikhail just did a redo, it was like $30 million. Everyone wants to see the locker room. I mean, I went on a tour there, and they showed all these, you know, the big boosters. I want to see the locker room.
That's actually a great quote. Why is that? Because even as a guy, and I don't
obviously play. Because that's the only thing they can't buy. If you're a booster, you can buy everything else. You can't buy access to the plane.
You can't get in there.
The locker room. Yeah. None of that stuff.
There's a plush feel. I mean, we've gone around the camp, around all the campuses during our football training camp tour, and I make it a beeline to see everyone's locker room. It's like second home.
It's an arms race.
It is.
It's an arms race in football and basketball.
Well, we all grew up playing somewhere, high school or whatever, and you remember the locker rooms.
Yeah.
I mean, they were the dirtiest, worst looking, you know, smelliest.
They're like NBA visiting locker rooms.
They were. Oh, is that what those are like?
Oh, my God. They're the worst.
I mean, we went to a locker room. Remember Iowa? They paint the locker room pink.
I actually
make
just,
the players pass.
You want to tell that?
No.
Okay.
No.
Go on. Sorry. KO and I had dinner last night. We'll leave that.
I went and played at Iowa, I had my managers paint the locker room black after shoot around in the morning.
By the way, that's the Cliff Notes version of that story.
Yeah.
So you go to check.
The rest of it can't
be told. We go in.
It was a good dinner.
And he had, it was cool because it was funny. Back then, you know, they don't have the video you have now.
Yeah.
So he had gotten my state championship video. We'd played Crenshaw High School in the state championship, but right here at the Oakland Coliseum.
Yeah.
He gets the video, and they edited it, and they had all these highlights. And I go down to the locker room, and they set it all up, and they have a TV down there. And you had the entire highlight going. And anybody that knows Arizona basketball knows the whole story about Steve Kerr and the crowd returning his name when the PA addresser would say Steve Kerr.
Yeah.
And then the whole crowd, you know, responds. So he's got the PA announcer. You know, so all my highlights from high school, and then the voiced in is this guy, Matt Muehlbach, number 25, double M.
You could do all that stuff then. You can't do any of that now.
It was hilarious.
You can't personalize visits. You can't, you know, you used to be able to put their picture on the scoreboard and all. You can't do
when
any of that.
When did they stop? Because I'm flashing back to He Got Game instead with Denzel Washington and Ray Allen. That's what they did in the movie.
The NCAA, instead of worrying about all these little things like lockers and that – people flat out pay people to come to school.
Yeah.
They don't care about that.
Yeah.
They care about an extra benefit of two envelopes or something, you know.
Right.
They've attacked the wrong things.
So I'm looking around for my pictures. I find the picture in front of the locker. Here it is. And you know what they had done? I think they'd taken Kerr's jersey.
Yeah, we had.
And taped over some sort of Muehlbach, because we were the same number in high school.
Yeah, I was changed just, a bit.
Yeah, not at all. So that was fun. And then what did we do after that? I think Luke took me back to his place before
was
dinner.
Was Kale with you in the locker room?
Oh, yeah.
Like this guy. So how do you – because Matt's obviously not the only guy that you bring inside the locker room when they're doing their on-campus visit. What are you selling as an assistant coach to –
You're just trying to make him feel like he's already there. You know what I'm saying? That's the whole idea of the campus visit. Make this guy feel like this can be his home. This is where he should be. You know, stuff like that. Personalize it. Make it, you know.
Oh, you personalized it.
We did.
Yeah. Did you feel like you were
at home? Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, it felt great. I mean, you know, you got the jersey up there. You're seeing yourself, you know, part of that team in the locker room. Absolutely.
Does everyone do that for you, though?
I would say every school did something like that.
Yeah.
Maybe not exactly. But every school did something similar to that. No question about it. I mean, they kind of all do the same stuff.
There's
a little unique, you know, twist to every guy. But they did that same thing.
All right, so you finish up the locker room. Do you go around campus? What happens after that?
So I think met all the players, saw the locker room, and then it's time to go out to eat.
Can I backtrack for a second?
Yeah.
Before dinner, you meet all the players. What's the exchange like?
You know, it's interesting because they were good.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say great. I mean, they're just finishing practice. And they're a week into practice.
So they're gassed.
They're gassed. And by the way, a lot of times what they'll do is they'll put the young guys with the old guys don't want to be with the recruits.
No, they've been doing it for three or four years.
And plus you're not going to play with those guys.
Right.
So they put the young guys. The young guys are trying to survive.
Yeah.
They're getting their butt kicked every single day.
The last thing they want to do is help somebody else to come in to compete against them.
It's the last thing.
Yeah.
Two guys took me out, I'd say. I mean, they were less than nice to me.
Really? Who was it?
And Eric Brady. Was it Brady was the guy that
Eric
we had
Brady was also on the visit.
On the visit.
But what do you say, because you know these players are in the situation that you just described, and you know that they're going to be talking to not only Matt but every other recruit and the recruits that come after and the recruits that came before that. Like, do you give them a message? Hey, don't mess this up?
They know that, but they don't. They're going to do whatever. They're players. Players are going to do whatever they think is best for them.
Do you try to limit the interaction then?
No. No, they hung out with them, took them out at night, did all that stuff on the visit. If I had to guess, that's what guys do on visits.
All right, so you go to
We did the second night. I'm not kidding. The first night they took our meal money, and they did whatever they wanted to do with it.
That happened.
I don't know, they went to dinner or did something. We didn't have anything
left.
Who
hosted you? I don't even know.
So we had Harvey and Judd hosted me.
There you go. Enough said.
And Judd, I swear to God, Judd to this day, one of my best friends in the world, he told me like a year ago, I saw him and we were talking about this. He goes, "Would you let it go? It happened 30 years ago." I mean, the guy was in my wedding and he's like, "Let it go. You don't have to keep talking about it." And now we're doing it on a podcast.
Yeah. No, it's clearly you haven't gotten over it.
Yeah,
still.
Exactly.
It's continued
still
to bring
bothering
it up.
Me.
So the guys take you out to dinner that night?
So no, you go with the staff.
Go with the staff. And maybe a player. There may have been some.
You can have one host.
I think it was like one guy. So I go back to – I actually went back to Lutz, and it was fun. It was like a real good time to kind of get with him, driving back to his place. He was actually asked me, he said, "What do you think of the team? Who's your starting lineup?" He said, "Who's your starting lineup, Matt, out of that team?" And it wasn't totally clear. There were a couple guys. Bruce Frazier may have started at the point. And
what?
Yeah, that was – yeah.
Get out of here.
He was the starting point guard the first game against the Russians.
And last game. Are you kidding me? Bruce Frazier. Frazier's a guy that when he came in the games, the crowd chanted, "Shoot, shoot, shoot."
Hey.
And he always shot an air ball.
Come on. That's my boy. That's the cue of my boy.
It's the truth. Okay.
So I tell him the starting lineup. Lute's like, yeah, I agree with you. You know, good observation. So we get up to his house.
Oh, I bet.
Get up to his house. I actually had to call a girl to invite her to homecoming. So the night before I left on my visit, I had just moved to Kansas City, and it was homecoming the following week. And I went to an all boys school, Rockhurst High School. I didn't know one girl in the entire city. So my cousin.
You should have just invited a guy.
Or take your cousin, which is what sounds like you're going.
I could have taken many guys from my high school. So so I go out to pizza with this girl, and her name's Julie.
Hold on. you're making moves here, all right? You're making moves. So you just move into a new city and you already have
a pizza date?
He's been there forever.
It took him three months to get his pizza date. I'm going to homecoming. Making moves. I'm just going to homecoming.
Okay, but no, but you're telling me that you have a date already lined up.
No. So, my cousin said, let's go to pizza with this girl. Maybe you can take her to homecoming.
Oh, okay.
So that was kind of to test the waters. And we go to pizza. I had a good time.
Yeah.
So the next morning, I'm fired up for my visit. I get to Tucson. I go through the whole campus thing and practice. I get to Lute's house. I go, oh, my God. I got to invite her to homecoming or she's not going to go. Someone's going to invite her. So I had to call her from Lute's house.
She's cute.
That turned out to be my wife. Oh, absolutely.
Then very cute.
10 years later.
Yeah.
So I go into Lute's house. I asked Lute, hey coach, can I use your phone? And he looks at me like, are you crazy? Like, what does a 17-year-old have to do? Why do you have to make a call here in Tucson?
I would have assumed it was your mom or calling home.
What the heck are you doing? So anyway,
When he gives you that look, did you explain to him what?
No, I didn't explain it. I was going to tell him what was going on. So I went back to his room, made the call. And he told me before I did, he said, you know, you got to make a collect call.
Okay.
Because the rules is you can't call outside from here.
So you go to his house, makes you call
school,
collect.
That's when there was unlimited phone calls.
Now
he was too cheap.
he tells me, he says, hey, the rules are the rules. You got to make a collect call.
Stickler for the rules. Okay.
I call her house, and I think I got her brother.
She accepts? Who accepts a collect? I mean,
from Lute's house. I mean, that's pretty good, right?
That is.
Who accepts? You go on one pizza date, now you're accepting collect calls? Oh, my God.
I don't even know to this day if she knows I called from Lute's house. And if she'd listened to the podcast, maybe she'd hear this.
Well, she should find out.
It's collect from Matt is all it said,
right? That's all it said, yeah.
She probably didn't have caller ID at that time.
I'm sure.
Do you make it a quick call? I mean, how does that? You're
calling. She didn't answer.
Her brother answered?
Her brother or her mom.
He accepted it? I know. Who does that?
I mean, they don't know who the hell you are.
Well, you accept the charges from Matt in Tucson Collect.
Hey, no
yeah,
problem.
Sure. Why not?
Yeah. It says Lute Olson on the caller ID. Why not? Let's take this one. Maybe they're calling me.
Did he play?
Yeah, you can play a little bit.
All right. So you call Collect, and then obviously things work out on the home.
Yeah, so that was good. And I didn't know. I just left the message, hey, I want to take her to homecoming, give her the message. I didn't know for the next couple of days, but so that night
you didn't even talk to her?
No, like I said, she wasn't there.
Oh, I didn't. I just thought you said she didn't answer.
No, she's not even there.
So you,
I'm like asking her mom or her brother or whoever it was.
You asked to take her. Whoever accepted a collect call from Matt in Tucson.
In Tucson.
You asked her out through one of her relatives.
Yes.
Well, God, you
I mean,
game,
relatives,
I'm
like
telling
her
you,
brother or mom.
The
or
dating world has drastically changed. Just be very happy that you're married now. You have children.
She must have had limited options.
All right. So Lute makes you dial collect. Then what happens?
So we went out to dinner. What was the place we went to in Tucson? Bobby McGee's.
Bobby McGee's.
Was the spot. Yep.
Was that standard?
Dinner.
Took everybody. Kind of a fun place.
Great dinner. You know, I had a good time. And, you know, you hang out with Lute and Bobby, his former wife, now deceased.
It was wonderful.
It was awesome. The mother of U of A basketball. I mean,
she was a really great person.
Yep. She was. So KO was great. Coach was great. Great
dinner.
How's that
dinner? I mean, is it more personal? Is it basketball? I'm sure it's tailored to the player in some respect to see how the conversation goes.
No, it was just a social gathering. That's all it is.
And you're the only guy at dinner in terms of the recruits?
No, it's Eric Brady. He's with me. So we got Brady there. He was like a 6'6 kid out of Washington, I think.
He ended up going to Washington.
He ended up going to UW. And
he wanted to go to U of A, but that didn't quite work out.
Yeah.
What happened with that?
What happened?
Yeah.
Well, I think the next morning I called you, right?
You did.
And, you know, how to go, this stuff.
You called me early in the morning.
I've already called the players that he was with. And so I know that they've taken absconded with his money, and, you know, because that's what they do. And he said, I think Brady wants to come. I said, well, Brady ain't coming, you know. So Matt's like, what do you mean? I said, there's no scholarship for Eric Brady any longer. We had made that decision the night before. So
what was it?
I told Matt, I said, you got to talk him out of it. out of committee. Well, he's ready to commit the first day.
Well, and KO says, you got to talk him out of it. I said, what? What are you talking about? I'm going to talk him out of it? He goes, yeah, you got to talk him out of it. I go, I'm not – okay. Well, I said whatever. You know.
What was it – hold on. How do you decide as a staff he's on his visit and you just say this is not going to work?
We're just like, you know what? What we had done is gotten some word from other guys that they were a little more interested than we thought they were going to be.
Okay.
So he took a drop on the list.
Okay.
So we were like, okay, have a great weekend. Enjoy yourself. You're going home.
But Matt doesn't drop on the list.
Well, I was going to say.
At that point.
Okay. I was probably a little higher than Brady.
We were
close, but I was probably in the top 50. He was top 60, you know, right around there. Yeah.
He was a good player. He had a good career.
Yeah, very good player. And I'm thinking, because what happened was the night before, I'm in Craig McMillan's truck. We're in the back of his truck driving up to the hotel. In fact, we're driving right by the restaurant we ate at North.
Oh, yeah.
Right by La Paloma there.
Yeah.
And we're in the very back, and the wind's whistling, and Brady turns to me. He says, what do you think of this place? I go, wow, you know, I like it. It's great. I'm enjoying it. He goes, I'm coming. And I said, you are? He goes, I'm coming. I'm in. I'm all in. He goes, I'm going to be a Wildcat. And I said, okay, that's great.
Not so fast.
He said, what about you? I said, I love it.
Yeah.
I might come here for sure. I got another visit, but, you know, we'll see. I kind of was playing it close. And then the next morning he calls me. And that was the story. He can't come. So I had to tell him the next morning after that. I gave it I gave him like a half-hearted on the way to. In fact, we were going to Luton Bobby's house for anybody that knows anything about Arizona basketball knows about the apple pancakes, and she made these famous apple pancakes. That was the close. That was the that closed the deal for all the players. So
that was the last time you ever had them.
we're heading over there. And I give the most half-hearted effort to try to tell Brady, well, you know, you might want to consider, you know, UW or, I don't know, a Cal or somebody else on your list. And he's like, I'm coming.
No, he was
dead set. Like, all right, I'll let KO deal with this one. This is not my job.
It's not your job. Not your job.
And I did deal with it.
So if you think my, like, from the airport to campus was a little rough, that ride back to the airport must have been a little rough for KO.
Brady?
For KO.
Oh, it wasn't rough for me at all. Serious. It was rough for Eric Brady.
But he played well. He had a good career.
He had a good career. And you know what? He became a casualty of recruiting. That's just the way it is.
And the reality is, if a better player had told them, if I had said I'm coming and I can't think of a name, Pooh Richardson or someone had said I'm going to Arizona.
Then he wouldn't have been
coming. I wouldn't have been there.
Yeah.
I mean, we kind of all knew
players are trying to find the best spot for them. We're trying to find the best players to try to win titles. That's the way it was.
So you finish up. You have your apple pancakes, as KO said. It's the last time you ever had those apple pancakes there. Then he takes you back to the airport and.
No, this was only the second day.
Oh, only the second day. So you have more.
Then those guys.
We went out that night.
They went out that night, hung out.
Hung out, had a good time. Met, you know, that was the first time I really got to hang out with like Kerr.
Yeah.
Elliot. So that night it was fun because I hung out with some of the older guys, Kerr, Elliot.
And they had
Elliot.
Sunday off. Always had Sunday off, so
Frazier.
This was Saturday after practice, so they all went out.
So you can cut loose a little bit.
Yeah,
Tolbert.
We had a crew that would cut loose.
We had a crew that would show you a good time.
I'm not surprised that Tom was one of those guys that could have a good time.
Yep.
So the next day, it's the day off, and then it's pretty much a wrap at that point, or you're still on?
Yeah, it's time to go. You can only be on campus 48 hours.
So it's you're in charge of making sure Matt gets back to
Yeah, well, I had to take Brady to the airport first.
Okay.
And we had an interesting conversation.
So you cut.
You said, Kale, I really like it here. I want to come. I said, you're not coming.
And
it was silence just like that. He said, what do you mean I'm not coming? I said, we're not offering you a scholarship anymore. He was like, what do you mean? I said, what I mean is we're not offering you a scholarship anymore. We've rescinded the offer. So he's like, why? I said, you don't even need to know why.
Oh, God, Kale.
It's just the way it is. I said, you got some more visits. You're going to find a great place. You're going to have a good career. You're just not going to be a Wildcat.
Sounds like a bad breakup. It's not, it's not you, it's me. You'll find someone else.
Yeah. It's not you, it's me. Yeah. That's perfect.
That's all right.
And so, I told him, I said, you're a good guy. We screwed this whole thing up, but you'll be all right.
It's like the guy in Moneyball. You know, you bring him in and you trade him. You know, you release him.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
But that was, you know, I mean, and as much as, like, they, I remember when I came in, they said, we're not going to recruit a kid next year on top of you. Now, when you're a sophomore, we'll like to stagger right. the positions. I was in practice 3 minutes, and Derek Martin was watching. The best point guard on the West Coast was there. I hadn't played 5 minutes of my
it's
first
just
practice.
The way it
There's
is.
Derek Martin walking around.
So you after that, you have to come back to campus,
pick up Matt, take him to the airport.
What was that exchange like?
It was good.
It was good.
No,
I said, you need to make a decision.
He did.
Soon.
Yeah, he was.
I said, or we're going to bring somebody else in.
I mean, he. And I, you know what I think? I told him, I said, KO.
You said you wanted to make one more visit.
I said I wanted to make one more visit to Stanford.
Right.
Which
actually was the only school I was worried about because his parents are intelligent people
yeah.
and Matt's intelligent. I thought education might mean something to him. Seriously.
Yeah.
You know, like if he'd have gone off to visit wherever, I wouldn't have cared. But Stanford has a way of beating other schools based on academics. And then I figured out Matt didn't care about education either.
Didn't want to talk to any yeah, professors.
I'm like the only recruit that ever didn't go to Stanford after getting a scholarship.
It's a lot of times.
There's
hasn't
about
happened
five
many
people.
Times.
Yep. Yeah,
so what, you ended up taking that?
I did, yeah.
Anywhere else that you went to?
I think I
mean,
went.
You told him.
No, you had some other ones.
I had already
scheduled.
Gone to Kansas.
Yep.
I had gone to Utah. I went to Arizona. Then I went to Stanford.
You were supposed to go to Missouri.
I think I had Missouri or Washington.
Yeah, and you canceled
one of those two.
Yeah.
Hawaii had called me, and I wanted to go there just to go.
That's typical of you
typical.
Guys.
Yeah,
take
it is
a free trip to Hawaii.
Take a free trip to Hawaii.
Yeah.
Interesting. And that's.
That was. And now, yeah, so I think you kind of. We talked about it. And I actually kind of said, I think, KO, I'm leaning towards Arizona, but I got to make this trip. I said, I got to go to Stanford. That's.
I said, well, you need to make one more trip and make up your mind. Or we're going to bring somebody else in. See, when you're at Arizona,
yeah.
you can threaten dudes.
With that, not threaten.
No, you could threaten them with either take the scholarship, commit now, or we'll get somebody else. I mean, that's the higher you're ranked in the country, the more threatening you can be in recruiting.
Did you feel that pressure?
A little bit, but you know, I think too. I mean, for me, it was like, hey, if that does happen, maybe I will go to Stanford. So I mean, it wasn't.
Yeah.
I mean,
it's not like you didn't have other choices,
yeah. right.
That would have made a lot of sense.
So we will find out the thought process on the next edition of the Pac-12 Network's basketball podcast on why you ended up ultimately deciding on Arizona and how the path continues on, because I know that there are some interesting developments once you do get on campus and some of the
oh,
messages
God.
That KO does share with you, and a defiant Matt Muehlbach. Is that a good way of describing how he was?
Matt had a mind of his own.
And there's
I can just say that.
There is nothing wrong with that. But, Matt, it is great to have you.
Great to be here.
And it was awesome to hear this story in person, to hear you guys go back and forth. I know you've been listening to the podcast, and it is that time where I have to read the promo, where I obviously have been struggling doing it taped.
You haven't.
No. Doing it live has been much better for me.
Yeah.
But doing it taped has been a little bit of a problem. So before we wrap up here, I have to do this promo. And I'm trying to think in the order, though, right? Like, should sell Matt as the recruit and the fact that he's here. That should probably lead off the promo, and then
no
we'll
question.
Do a little Utah stuff, and then
yeah.
and then go from there. All right, cool. Well, we'll see how this plays out. Count this in to 3, 2. I have no idea what I'm going to say. 3, 2, and 1. Coming up on the next. No, I don't want to do that. I should probably ID myself, right? 3, 2, 1. Hi, I'm Mike Yam, and coming up on the next Pac-12 Network's basketball podcast, the one and only Kevin O'Neill will be in studio. We'll also have Matt Muehlbach with us. The two of those guys will recount some of the epic stories of his recruiting trip, not to mention Utah with a bad loss on the road against UCLA. Matt and KO will tell you what it means for the Utes moving forward. It's coming up next on the podcast. Is that a keeper? Can we use that one?
Of course it is.
That wasn't too bad,
money.
Right?
That's great.
God,
money.
I gotta do it live. Live is just so the way to go. And Candace hit me up on GChat and says, yes, it's a thumbs up.
You wouldn't like being at Fox, though, where we have to rehearse everything.
I'm not a rehearsal guy.
Yeah.
I'm not a rehearsal guy.
I know.
And we do always appreciate you guys downloading us for the latest on what's happening around the conference. You can follow us on Twitter at Pac-12 Networks. My personal handle at Mike_Yam. Matt, you're not a Twitter guy, are you?
I have a Twitter account.
Do you really?
Yeah. I've never tweeted.
Do you follow people?
Yeah.
What's your handle?
At Matt Muehlbach.
God, I got to look for you. I had no idea that was taking place.
And I think I do have 25 people following me.
I had Twitter for 2 days.
You didn't even have Twitter for two days.
For 2 days.
Did you really?
Yep.
What happened?
Five years ago.
Did you set up the account?
You had one at SC.
Yeah, but I had it for like 2 days. You know, I was like
great game, Coach Carroll.
No, when I figured out you had to
actually do something.
I was like, I'm not doing this every day. Are you kidding me?
Would you follow me if we got you back on?
No, I'm not doing it.
Just not going to happen.
I have no interest in anything social media.
Simply stated. It is what it is. Yeah. For everyone who does have an interest, everyone else on the planet besides Kevin O'Neill, who is involved in some sort of way with Twitter, at Pac-12 Networks, it is plural, at Matt Muehlbach, at Mike_Yam. And, of course, you continue to rate us on iTunes. We will catch you next week for the brand new edition of the Pac-12 Networks Basketball Podcast.